Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Airo. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Airo uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Airo will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Airo can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Airo. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
A pleasant good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of WWL's Fans in the Pro. We are broadcasting live from the Rouse's Markets uptown on Ferret Street, 4645 Ferret, as we gear up for Tulane's American Athletic Conference Championship game tonight at Yulman Stadium against North Texas. That's at 7, so you have plenty of time to come by, get all of your game day needs, your pregame needs, and really your championship weekend needs. All of those favorites right here at Rouse's, proud partner of the Saints. Deuce McAllister, myself, we're not hard to find. Just come in the store and turn left. There's a bar called Ferret Fair. F-A-I-R-E. That's where we are. We're at a bar in a grocery store.
Responsibly.
Do you love this city or not?
Responsibly, Mike. It's responsibly.
Okay.
Now, they do have those items, grown folks' items, but they do have food as well.
They do?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see any of that.
Yeah, no.
I have to find some of that.
They got that. It's over there.
I have to find some.
It's over there where the top shelf is. The top shelf. But and the other thing, Mike. I saw a couple of gentlemen outside. They had just got their groceries and some of the beverages of choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, man, y'all starting late. It was 3:30. He's like, Deuce, we had to go to work. I said, okay, I forgive you. But normally in New Orleans, you know, it's a half day Friday, and so you know, with a game like this of this magnitude. I know Coach Summerall was asking that the students didn't have class, so they would be, you know, kind of enjoying the festivities all day. I'm pretty sure that most of the professors just made sure, hey, you know, we got finals coming up.
Yeah.
Let's.
I mean, if you took a Friday 3 o'clock class, that's on you.
If you did that any Friday, you had to be a freshman,
right? Well,
that was the only time that you could get in that class, and you didn't know any better,
right?
And somebody wouldn't let you drop that class.
Once
you were in that, and so because no junior, not even really a sophomore or a senior, no. I would have to look at that professor twice and say. What we doing?
That's a big one, man. I don't know.
We really going to class on Friday? I mean, and so, yeah, no, it should just around the neighborhood. there's been a really, really good buzz for Tulane, and you talk about
no pun intended.
Yeah, you talk about everything that's going on in the coaching circle, signing day. Their focus has been on this game, and so for the fan base, for the fans to really be able to enjoy it, and you know, like we talked about in the newsflash, the winner basically has its eyes directly on the playoffs.
I can see, because of the seedings and the rankings, that either one that wins cannot.
Should.
But I mean, how – there's no –
It's committee.
Committee. Yeah, eyeballs.
Well, committee. It's just, right. It's not supposed to be, but it's the committee.
But there's nobody else there to take.
No.
And I'm – you know, that includes – James Madison, who's ranked 25th.
Correct.
Who's gonna? They play Troy at 6 o'clock tonight. Tulane plays at 7 o'clock. Just so we all understand off the top, JMU ain't got nothing to do with Tulane. Tulane ain't got nothing to do with JMU.
No.
JMU's only path to this thing is Duke beating the University of Virginia tomorrow night.
That's
in the
tomorrow
ACC
night. Correct.
Championship. And I know there's a lot of UVA Cavalier alumni here. There's a person in the office next to me, Connery Schmidt. She's a UVA grad. But so we're all good.
You know who else is a UVA or about to be a UVA grad? Arch's oldest sister.
Really?
Yeah.
Gosh, man,
I think
I'm
Cooper's,
so old.
We are old Coopers, and that's just an odd oddity that it's just, you think about UVA,
But there's a ton.
That's correct.
My dad went to a small school in Virginia, Washington and Lee. And, I mean, it's tiny. And I would drive uptown, and I'd see all these W and L stickers. I'm like, I tell my dad, I go, dude, you wouldn't believe the amount. I don't know, Hampton, Sydney, you know, there are a ton of the private Virginia schools, UVA. I mean, they're not going to Virginia Tech.
No.
They're going to really, really good schools. But it's kind of cool, the pipeline that's up there. And you're right, the buzz in this neighborhood. But I think from a realistic standpoint, from if you're Tulane football, you got to remember, this is your fourth straight title game appearance.
Correct.
You have lost the last two. You got to take care of business.
Well, you got to win. I mean, you got to win, and so I think that's probably the most important part of it. You've been here in this situation, but you hadn't been able to kind of close the deal, and hopefully that's something that they can do tonight. You know, Mike, we talked about it kind of off air. I am not a true fan of this weather, but this is some really good football.
Yeah,
this is some really good football.
As long as I know, is it? I think the rain's done for tonight. Isn't
I'm gonna knock on wood.
I think just maybe a sprinkle or two.
Yeah, I'm gonna knock on wood.
I don't think we're supposed to get more, because that's the only difference. I agree. If it's just kind of cold and cloudy, I think it's gonna be awesome.
Yeah,
right. And these, I can't imagine. It should be just an offensive just showcase. I mean, North Texas averages 47. Good game.
Well, I think it'll
Tulane averages 29.
I think it'll be an offensive showcase until somebody has a turnover or two.
Then
who can create a turnover or two?
Then you start a little close to the vest, right?
Yep. Now you maybe slow it down a little bit, or you may not take some chances that you normally do. But who can create a turnover or two? That'll be really the key to this game tonight. You know, and you always talk about there may be a point where, hey, we've got to go for it on fourth down, or what is the red zone offense looking like for either team? But you know, for me, when you talk about offenses that score as much as they do, it comes down to just possessions. You know, who can control the football, or at least hold on to the football.
Tulane has their two losses. They lost to Ole Miss, and then they lost to UTSA San Antonio, and that's the only. They had several common opponents of between North Texas and Tulane, but that's the only difference. UTSA, North Texas beat them, and Tulane lost to them. But other than that, pretty much straight through. Also, I wanted them to just promote the show. Just quickly, we're going to have Rick Stroud on at 4:35, talking about the Buccaneers and the Saints on Sunday at 5:25. Pro football analyst and co-host of the PFF College Football Show. That's going to be Dalton Wasserman. A ton to talk about there. We're at the Rouses, 4645 Ferret Street, Uptown. Fans of the Pro Bowl, 6 o'clock. Stay with us. Back after this here on WWL. Welcome back. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister with you until 6 o'clock tonight. We're at the Rouses, 4645 Ferret Street. We are between Nashville and Jefferson. We're uptown. You can't miss us. Although you could miss us.
You can miss us.
I take that back. You could miss us. But it's a perfect little neighborhood store. So you can come in, browse, get whatever you need. And we've been talking a little Tulane. We want to get some of the Saints news from the day. Not surprisingly, because none of them practiced this week. Fuaga, Taliesa Fuaga is out. Alvin is out. Olave's questionable. He's been limited on Thursday and Friday. Justin Reed also out. And Jonas Sanker does not have a designation, so he's good to go. Really, the only questionable one for Tampa is, in fact, questionable. That's Tristan Wirfs, their left tackle. He hadn't practiced Wednesday, Thursday, was limited today. Mike Evans and Jalen McMillan both remain on IR. Their window is open, but they're not coming back just yet.
Not this week.
And Benjamin Morrison, their cornerback, is a hamstring questionable. And Rashad Wisdom, he's on IR. He's out as well. So really just Tristan trying to see if he can come back in back-to-back weeks with touchdown catches.
Well, we definitely don't want that.
No.
I expect him to play. He's been a tough player. He came, what was it, PUP. He started the season on PUP, and so he's battled some injuries. He's been a really good player.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
One of the I don't know many guys that have played both right and left tackle in the NFL and played at a high level. I know Fuaga is doing it now, but, you know, if he can get to that level that Tristan is at, woo. I mean, but he is a really, really good player.
And these two teams just played in week 8. You go, my gosh, what a great tool. Well,
no.
It kind of isn't,
no.
Right? Spencer Rattler started. Tyler Shuck came in. Tyler Shuck came in with 4 minutes to play in the third quarter, threw 30 passes.
Now, I know it.
You know, take that out. Hassan Reddick didn't play for Tampa. Bucky Irving didn't play for Tampa. Chris Godwin didn't play for Tampa. The score was 20-3. It was actually probably closer. This is the two goal line stand for the Saints where the Buccaneers did score finally on the fourth down. But that first and goal with the one goal line stand, and then there was the pick six by Anthony Nelson. So I talked to Coach today. I was like, gosh, is it of any value? I mean, it kind of is, but it kind of isn't, right? I mean, it's just completely different.
Yeah, it's a little bit different for both teams, and you have to look at it really more from a scheme standpoint, and then how has this player played, or how has this player elevated himself, and that's really what they'll be doing. I mean, because you go back and think, you know, that's also – you still had Shahid, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, and so, you know, you don't have that element. You have a bigger receiver. Vele was available, but he wasn't playing like he is now. And so I think you've changed a little bit offensively, defensively. If your defense can go out and give you a similar effort, hopefully the offense can go out and put points on the board for you. You know, I think that's probably the most important part for this team. Can they put points on the board? You love 7, you'll take 3, because I think that the longer you're in the game – or at least close in this game, the pressure shifts to Tampa Bay.
And even in the short tenure, you know, the Saints lead the series down there. They play well. They haven't won. They lost in that Tom Brady comeback game, 17-16. Lost last year. But the game was very close. They've always seemed to play well down there. Now, weather is expected to be a factor there. The rain that we're getting now is supposed to be down there.
60%, right?
60%. What's, you know, who knows? We'll have to wait and see if that's a factor. But they, you know, the Saints unbelievably had rain this week to practice in.
Yeah.
They practiced outside one day.
You're not going in this bubble, Saints.
No.
You're going outside. You got to deal with these elements. And if it's a little cold, then, hey, that's you put some tights on, get you a hand warmer, and let's go play ball.
We will talk a lot more about the Buccaneers and the Saints. When we come back, we'll have Rick Stroud, who covers the Buccaneers and the NFL for the Tampa Bay Times. So we'll talk with Rick Stroud next. Mike Austin, Deuce McAllister, Fans in the Pro, 46-45 Ferret, right near Tulane, and their AAA championship game tonight with North Texas. Back after this on WWL.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews all on the app. Download today.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Welcome back, fans of the Pro. 46-45 for Rhett Street at the Rouses. Also want to quickly shout out to Magazine Pizza for feeding our Saints game day crew. Magazine Pizza, 1068 Magazine. Dine-in or delivery. The best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza also has pasta, sandwiches, wings, and salads. MagazinePizza.com. Happy to continue talking about the Buccaneers and the Saints on Sunday from Tampa. Rick Stroud, who covers the Buccaneers and the NFL for the Tampa Bay Times, at NFL Stroud, Stroud. Rick, welcome to the show. You're on with Deuce and Hoss.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
We are doing well. So I guess tell me about where this Buccaneers team is in your head. They went through a struggle. I mean, that, you know, the start was so kind of magical, right? The comebacks, and then lost some and then got it back against Arizona. But it feels like you got McMillan on the verge, you got Evans on the verge, that they need a push at the end that they probably weren't expecting they were going to need from Carolina. But all of a sudden, it's a horse race.
Yeah, it really is. Both the Bucs and Carolina control their own destiny. If they win out, that's your NFC South champion. So, they're aware that, this is the division portion of the schedule. They went through kind of a gauntlet of games, and they lost all three, you know, playing the Patriots, then at Buffalo, and then, you know, last week or the week before losing to the Rams. And then last week they got back on the winning side. Because, frankly, you know, the Arizona Cardinals aren't in that class. And they've had a ton of injuries. That was really the story at the beginning of the season. And, you know, Baker Mayfield managed to lead them to four victories in the last minute of those first four games. Those were all games that were toss-ups, could have gone either way. They were playing with a beat-up offensive line. So injuries has been the biggest part of their season. They are getting some guys back healthier. Chris Godwin was much better in his second game back last week. Bucky Irving is now playing again. We thought maybe we'd see Mike Evans this week. We may still see him on Thursday night against Atlanta. He will not play in this game. It's been a very uneven year in that aspect, but they've kind of pressed through. And, you know, the schedule turns, the division games are there, and they feel like they can go on a run like they've done every year and manage to win this division.
Yeah, one of the things that you look at, and you just talked about just them being able to battle adversity and even Baker kind of being banged up himself, you know, how much has it changed from, hey, I may not have Mike on the outside, but I've got X receiver and I trust him, and they've been able to make plays for Baker?
Well, they have, and I think you got to credit, you know, the rookie Emeka Ibuka, who came in here from Ohio State, was probably going to be their number two or three receiver, and you know, he suddenly becomes wide receiver one, and he's played tremendous, you know, for that role. So Baker, you know, has managed to just kind of will them to win at times. I mean, I think it's cost him physically. You know, he's hurt his knee. He's had oblique injuries. He's now playing with a sprained AC joint in his left shoulder. So there's been a cost. And I think as those injuries piled up, his effectiveness really went down. I mean, he had three games where he did not have a rushing attempt. And we remember him, you know, creating a lot of plays with his feet in those wins. So all of that has kind of been parts of it, right? And a defense that, quite frankly, while they haven't had as many injuries, they just haven't played well at times. And, you know, particularly against the pass and middle of the field and things like that. So it's been just kind of a grinded out year. You know, you kind of wait for the cavalry to come. But then you also got to find ways to win with the guys you got. But I think that, you know, the confluence of players coming back healthy, the schedule turning a little bit for them in their favor. They got three straight home games now, or they're in the midst of three straight home games. All of that should really help them down the stretch.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go as far as that, just that defense and, you know, those guys kind of maybe getting to the level that they need to be playing at. You know, I know one thing that there were question marks were really maybe the speed at the linebacker position.
Yeah.
You know, still really good players, but, you know, when you play maybe some speed tight ends or even some backs, you know, just they don't run like they used to, and whether that's age or just maybe not the best position fit for a guy or two, wanted to get your thoughts.
Yeah, you know that very well, Deuce. I mean, you know, listen, there's a lot of good backs in this league, a lot of good tight ends. We love Levante David. I think the guy's a Hall of Fame player. He's been underrated his whole career, but he's 35 years old, you know, and you usually don't get faster or more durable as your years go by. He's still a very effective player. You know, Savassier Dennis has not been that guy coming off an injury from last year that cost him the season that they hoped he would be, particularly in coverage. They've been vulnerable, you know, to the middle of the field. And they went, you know, against the Patriots and against the Rams, before the Rams game, actually, but the Patriots and the Bills games, they were giving up huge splash plays in the middle of that defense. You know, they had lots of plays over 25, some of them over 50 yards. So, you know, you can't just, you know, flip it out there in the flat, miss a tackle and have a guy go 50, you know, and that has happened with far too much regularity. So, they've kind of cut down on the big plays, the big splash plays they're giving up. The tackling has been poor at times, but that also can be a function of just, you know, guys not in the right position or as fast as they used to be. So there's a hole in that defense, and they've tried to plug it. I think getting Haason Reddick back is going to help them. Last week they had, you know, 53% of the dropbacks. The quarterback was pressured. Jacoby Brissett was pressured. That was the most in the league last week, and I think the second most this year for the Bucs. So nothing like the Saints and sort of the way they're playing right now to get you healthy in the pass rush. They had five sacks against them where they played them the last time. But it has been, you know, a little bit of a concern, or more than a bit of a concern, with the defense. And I think that, you know, it's got the rush and the coverage has to work hand in hand, as you know, and they just really haven't gotten it together just yet.
What does the weather forecast at least look like for Sunday? We have rain yesterday, today, some tomorrow, so it's the same front that you guys are supposed to get. What are they expecting Sunday?
It's heading this way, guys. As you know, those fronts push right through the peninsula and you know, down through Louisiana, and they're expecting, I think, 70-75% chance of rain on Sunday. It's going to be a slog, you know, and what that leads to, who knows, right? It's hard to throw the ball, hard to catch it sometimes. it sometimes slows down the pass rush, you know, quite frankly, if the footing's not good. So, you know, you got a mobile quarterback there in New Orleans. Certainly got one in Tampa if he wants to put himself on the line like that. But, yeah, I don't expect it to be great weather conditions for, you know, a lot of aerial circus going on there. But we'll have to see. I mean, both these teams, one's a dome team. Obviously, the Bucs play in the rain a lot down here in Tampa. Haven't had any real rain games this year. But it's something, the weather is something they'll have to deal with, I think, both teams on Sunday.
And for my last question is just talking about, you know, special teams, the Saints, you know, I think most people who just kind of watch from afar would not know that Chase McLaughlin is a guy who is 9 of 9, 50 plus, better than Brandon Aubrey. You know, he had one blocked early. But I mean, that's a guy who literally, we played you guys in week 8, which feels like just yesterday. And the teams are completely different. We've got a new starting quarterback. You've got Reddick back. You've got Godwin back. You've got Irving back. But McLaughlin was 14 of 18 when we started week 8 in that game. I'm like, and all of his misses were inside of 50. I'm like, that guy was hanging on to his job. And since then, he's made 8 in a row. And again, 9 for 9, 50 plus. That is impressive.
It really is. And of course, kicking has been so bizarre, you know, in terms of the distance that we're seeing these days, whether it's, you know, them giving them the K balls in advance, teams feeling comfortable trying longer field goals as part of it. But yeah, Chase, I actually saw, it's a true story. So Todd Bowles had a chance to kick a field goal, and I forget which game it was. It was about a 35 to 40 yarder. He took a delay of game penalty to move it back. And I asked him why, and he goes, because McLaughlin's more comfortable at that distance. He's more consistent. So I don't know, man. He's got a strong leg, and like I said, the 9 field goals over 50 yards is a club record. It's the most he's done, and he's a real weapon. He was in New Orleans, and it can get tricky with the wind down here outside in Tampa. We're not that far from the Gulf of Mexico, as you guys know. It's not the easiest place in the world to kick. Always they prefer to be indoors, but Chase has been remarkable. And you know, the special teams has not been a strength of this team. You know, whether it was early in the season when Chase missed those 3 field goals, the punting has been inconsistent. They've had many kicks blocked. They've given up a ton of return yards as they did against the Bills. So it's not at all a good phase of their game. And, you know, I think it's something that any opponent can really take advantage of at times.
Yeah, we'll see. You're right. Riley Dixon's had a couple blocked. Chase had one block. You know, where the Saints have a kicker who's be playing in his second game, and he had a 56-yarder for his first kick, and he goes, you know, I was happy. He wanted to be back there. He's more comfortable back there than it had been 35 yards. It's kind of crazy. I mean, but that's kind of the way where we are.
Take out the driver and leave the wedge in the bag, right? I got
you. John Daly kind of golf, right? Hit it big. All right, Rick, we appreciate it, my friend. Rick Stroud covers the Buccaneers in the NFL for the Tampa Bay Times at NFL Stroud. We shall see. They're always close games. Not even the score indicative, but they're always battles when we come down there, and we look forward to another one on Sunday.
All right, great talking to you guys. Have a good one.
Thank you, sir. Take a break. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister. We are at the Rouses, 46-45. Ferret, if you're on map between Jefferson and Napoleon, if you're really tight on the map, between Valence and Cadiz. So come down and see us. We're here till 6 o'clock tonight. Back after this on Fans of the Pro, WWL. Welcome back. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister. We are at the Rouses, 46-45 Ferret. Little shout out to Marcy Nathan. She is our Rouses gal, and she's a Tulane grad, and I'm sure she's got all of her fixings ready to go for tailgating Tulane and North Texas. Be a lot of green tonight at Yulman Stadium. They are the mean green of North Texas against Tulane for the American Athletic Association Conference Championship. And the winner, quite frankly, as far as I'm concerned, unless I don't know what could happen, to be honest, they're going to be in that 12. Question is where? And right now, if you look at the bracket right now, which can change, Ole Miss is one of those teams that has the football. They don't know who they're playing yet. There's two spots still out there.
Yeah, because it'll be, ACC champion, possibly, but it's also whoever is the highest non-power five or power four, however you want to categorize it. Mike, I do think that just because of how college football has gone this year, you will have some type of craziness. I think that there will be some craziness. And so the question will be, which the committee really hasn't stuck to a consistent, why we moved this team, why we let this team out, why we did this. And it's all almost always what do we think? If, and I'm trying to figure it out, what's the scenario? But how does a team like Miami jump a Notre Dame? I'm asking.
I don't know. I got the list right here. I don't.
I mean, it's just if you have upset.
Right.
You talk about a team like BYU. BYU beats Texas Tech. Do both of those teams get in now? I mean, but BYU will definitely get – Texas Tech is in.
Yes.
So will BYU get in then because they've won the conference championship? Because they're right on the cusp. They're right on the cusp. I mean,
it's so 11th. Notre Dame's 10th.
Yes.
Miami's 12th.
So if BYU wins, they're in, correct? At 11. If they win, they got to be in.
Yeah, win the conference championship.
Yeah, so they're in.
The West.
So does that help or hurt someone else? Because if you talk about, okay, there's an upset and Duke pulls it off.
Yes.
Now, but does that squeeze James Madison?
No.
Or that just squeezes the ACC?
It squeezes the ACC.
Okay. So
as far as I'm concerned. Now, I'm a JMU alum.
Yeah.
So I'm not objective, but that's everything I've read, because Duke's 7-5.
No, I know Duke can't go. We know that.
But they're going to be the ACC champion.
But they can't go.
But they're the ACC champion.
They can't go. They won't be ranked high enough. They can't go.
So then
they can't go.
Then the
ACC champion is going to be squeezed.
The Sun Belt champion, James Madison, should go.
Will go.
They'll beat Troy hopefully tonight by their favor by 23. Now,
yeah,
knock on wood. Knock on wood.
So Troy had to beat Southern last week.
Right. Troy had two big wins.
Yes.
To get to where they are to win the West.
And I'm gonna fuss at Southern Miss because you remember a couple weeks ago. That coach, what's his name? Southern Miss's coach just came from Marshall. Coach Huff. Huff was, you know, they were flying high, and he made the comment to the fans that, hey, we need your support because nobody wants to go to Shreveport. And it wasn't like, you know, I understand what he was saying. He was like, hey, we need to continue to win because no one wants to go to Shreveport. Well, guess what? That's maybe a possibly landing spot when you talk about just because they didn't win.
Right.
But last week's game for Southern Miss and Troy was basically to see who was going in to – and that game was at Southern, I believe.
Yes.
And that was basically to see who was going to the championship game to play JMU. And so it was just interesting how they were able to start kind of fast or win some games early but not necessarily close, and that being Southern Miss like they should have. And Mike, we got to give a shout out here. I know we're coming up on the break.
We're okay. We got time.
I know it. But we didn't get to talk about it because we were off. But Bayou Classic.
Yeah.
Southern.
What a game.
Not only what a game. Southern had two wins. But guess what? One of those two was against the G-Man. So as bad as you played this year, all is well. All is well.
When they say throw out the records in that game, it is true.
Well, it was truly a throw out the record. And, you know, we know that Southern was successful and Coach McNair was able to pull it off. But now Southern University, they have a new coach.
How about all the coaches, Jay? I'm done, Lane Kiffin. But how about all the other coaching changes?
Well, I mean, tonight's coaches we got to shout out Marshall, because Marshall, a New Orleans hometown kid taking over SU. You know, we're proud of you, happy for you, and you know, wishing you success. But both of the coaches tonight and the game that a lot of eyes will be on are going to other programs,
Power Fours. John Sumrall going to Florida.
Correct.
North Texas's coach, Eric Morris, Oklahoma State. Bob Chesney, who is James Madison's coach, UCLA. So, and their coach before Chesney was Kurt Cignetti.
Kurt just signed for money, so, you know, up at Indiana.
My little minor point is how well the Group of Five is doing going to these Power Four schools.
So if you're Troy's coach, you got to feel some type of way. Because the other three coaches
right. involved.
Yeah, they've moved on up. And if you're Troy's coach, you're the only one that didn't move on up, you know, that's in the championship game. But, no, those guys have done a phenomenal job. And then I don't know if it's official yet.
Billy Napier?
Well, Billy's going to JMU, yeah. But Baker.
I don't know. Tulane or D.C.?
We'll put it this way. There's a hard rumor. There's a hard rumor. And I don't know, you know, I don't know if we have ink or David Harris has an agreement or what, but there's a hard rumor that he will be the coach for Tulane, and there should be some type of, you know, announcement, et cetera. We'll have to kind of wait and see.
Yeah, that was the one that was out there because Lane wanted him to stay. But he's a Tulane graduate.
Correct.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah, it did interview for Memphis, and there's probably a reason that got leaked when it did.
Yes,
but
sir.
The coaching carousel.
Oh, my Lord. It has been the craziest, and Deuce said it months ago. He said when the Lane Kiffin
the dominoes,
and they went pop, 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 9 in a row on Sunday. Take a break. Fans of the Pro, we're at the Rouses on Ferret Street. We'll be here until 6 o'clock. Talk more college football. We got a huge high school night coming ahead as well. Talk about the big matchups coming up there as the road to the Superdome continues. But now the news is next.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab.
We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Welcome back, fans in the Pro. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister with you until 6 o'clock tonight. We're at 46-45 Ferret between Jefferson and Napoleon. Yes, Tulane tonight, 7 o'clock against North Texas. But I got to say, I want to say happy birthday to Jenna Bro. She's a good friend of my daughter's. Jenna is her birthday today. Happy birthday, Jenna. She and my daughter Allison are celebrating with the Jonas Brothers tomorrow night. We got Brandy and Monica tonight at the Smoothie King Center. Tomorrow night,
that girl is the Jonas is Brothers. Mine. So the Jonas Brothers, what is their?
Oh, dude, don't. But
come
please,
on, though. Come on. I know you know one.
I don't. I am. I'm a.
You know one because the radio gonna be on something.
I don't know, but the radio's on
something
news.
No, it can't just be all
I don't
news.
Know any Jonas Brothers songs.
Yes, you do.
All right.
I'm going to look up one and you're going to know it.
And don't forget, Deuce's birthday coming up later this month.
We won't
there
be
you
working.
Go. There you go.
Yeah,
take
we
that.
Will. I was going to ask you, and you're not supposed to ask a young lady how old they are, but how old?
Well, let's put it that way. Well, she's in her mid-20s, which means
okay,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't
they
matter.
Don't,
I mean, they don't age.
That's right.
They don't age, so it doesn't really matter.
She's in her mid-20s, but she's a great girl, and I know that her mom and her dad they went to high school together, so they're going to have a good time tomorrow night at the Jonas Brothers. Now, do you know a Jonas Brothers song? This was not the path I was planning on.
Possibly.
Yes. Well, you got your sons, right?
They don't. I don't know what they listen to.
They're too young.
No, they don't. They may. I mean, they Mike, you know, right. It's just like I try to let them have their little own deal.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, I'm going to turn on some blues for them and then try to take them to church.
Educate
a little bit.
Them.
Yeah, try to take them to church, and then they're going to turn on some Bang Bang and some junk and some,
yeah.
Like, y'all put them headphones on because I don't want to hear all that.
So we have not talked about it because it is semifinal night, baby.
Yes.
High school football. I'll try to be quick because there's a lot to get through. So in the non-select, at least as far as the local teams, area teams, Division II, you got Belchase at Iowa. St. James, you know, we're down there
mm-hmm.
with our friends at First American. St. James at Sterlington. South Plaquemines is against Mangum. I'm going to skip Division I for select and go to Division II. St. Charles is home. University Lab at 7. Shaw against Vanderbilt Catholic at 7. Calvary Baptist, which beat Country Day. They're playing against Notre Dame. By the way, they scored 66 against you guys. You know what they scored the following week?
Like 14.
14. Won 14-7.
I found out that they're a really good player. Me and his uncle played in high school together.
Oh, yeah?
They're a four-star receiver. Me and his uncle played in high school together, and so I've taken an interest in Calvary Baptist, how they advance on, because the next week it was 14-7. I followed
yep.
it, and so I think it was St. Charles Catholic. They play, I think you just said it, they play U-High. They play Lamar Brown in that group. And the only reason I know that is because I spoke.
University Lab.
Yeah, I spoke at the at their
quarterback club
this week, and they were just talking about, you know, just Lamar and just trying to, this was before signing day, and
yeah.
So this was just like, you know, look, he's a five-star, he's a heck of a player, but long story short, I know they're excited about that game. That game is going to be over in La Place, and so didn't know I knew as many people over there at St. Charles Catholic, but yeah, that should be a pretty good game. And then I know Shaw.
Yep. Shaw's at Vanderbilt Catholic.
Yep, Shaw at Vanderbilt Catholic, and then
Riverside at Ascension. No, Riverside is home against Ascension. Now let's get to Division I.
Which is?
Carr,
uh-huh.
Catholic at Baton Rouge.
Correct.
That's on the West Bank tonight at 7. St. Aug and John Curtis at Gormley at 7. So the winner of those two games.
Go to New Orleans, go to the Dome.
Let me say one thing. St. Aug and Curtis both have, you know, Curtis has two losses. St. Aug has one loss. You know the two?
Carr.
Well, Curtis lost to St. Augustine. They just played back on November 7th. St. Aug beat them 55-28. So they're playing tonight for the rematch. But, wow, Carr, Catholic Baton Rouge, St. Augustine, and John Curtis. That's
well,
your Division I select.
Mike, we just talked about it. Did you see the list of athletes? And, you know, I don't care if it's Power Four, Power – did you see the list of athletes that Etna Carr had as far as that signed on Wednesday? A whole bunch. It was impressive.
Yeah.
And I know Coach Bruce, I think – I can't think of I know his name. I'll think of it. Bryce Brown. The job that he has done and – you know, you talk about them having the success that they've had. They've been loaded. They loaded this year. And I don't think it's going to end soon. So we'll just enjoy it. We'll see. But that Carr St. Aug game should be an interesting one. And Shaw, that should be a good matchup. I mean, and so it's some good matchups in our area. And the other part of it, Mike, I'm trying to think. I'm drawing a blank. I'm drawing a blank on it, but I'll think of it in a second. But I mean, it's just there's great matchups. There's really great matchups as far as high school football.
Yeah.
But I'm intrigued just by how, if they've played each other, how they kind of go back and look at it and try to make some adjustments.
I don't know. It's good gosh, man. That's a loaded one there. That's right. Because it's unfortunate. It is what it is. Because you've got teams that aren't going to play each other, right?
No, that's true. I know what it was now. The new divisions have come out as well.
Right.
And so the new divisions for high school have come out. And so a little bit of movement in some of those districts. But it'll just be intriguing to see which team can kind of finish it off. But then with the new divisions, as far as classifications, et cetera, you know, going forward, it's going to be some exciting times in the high school athletics, we'll put it that way.
Yep, and it all comes to the Superdome next week. So it's Thursday the 11th, Friday the 12th, Saturday the 13th, Saints in Carolina on Sunday the 14th. And so, you know, you want as many of the locals that are regional teams and some from all over the state. Because really, those teams up in the northern and central part, man, they travel. I want them to come to New Orleans.
We want them to come to enjoy. And yeah. the other team that we haven't spoken about a lot or really at all today is our Pelicans, because we can't get right. We can't get right. We hadn't been on the show, but, you know, it was announced a couple days ago, you know, about Zion and the abductor. And, you know, it's just, man, I know his body just won't let him. I'll just put it like that. You know, his body just won't allow him to be able to go out there and perform. And our young rookies, whether they were drafted or, you know, or just signed late, whatever it was, they've played well. But, I mean, the Pelicans, you just got too much firepower that is hurt. And so, you know, you had what – I don't want to call it a true back-to-back, but you had Minnesota
twice.
Yeah,
you had home and home.
Home and home against Minnesota.
The first one was a killer.
Yeah, because you're up
yeah.
four with 30 seconds.
Right.
And you don't close that one out. And then the other one, you know, it almost looked like – I don't want to call it Minnesota was toying with you because you were in the game, but you knew that at some point they were going to make a run in the fourth quarter, and they just pulled away, and we just never could answer – consistently. But that first one, I agree, you're up.
Yep.
I mean, you have a lead.
That's probably as well as they've played and shot the ball, especially second quarter. Probably as well as they've played all season.
Put it together. They've played well under Borrego, but I mean, it hadn't given you a lot of wins. Yeah. That's the most disappointing part. And so if you can get some healthy, and I mean, it's we're just asking for some of those healthy bodies back with what you have currently to see if you can string together 2, 3, 4. Can I be greedy? Can I get 8 wins in a row? But, I mean, just give me 2 or 3 wins in a row.
Well, you play Brooklyn tomorrow, and so Brooklyn is 5-and-whatever. They're 5-and-17. The Pelicans are 3-and-20. This is exactly what we prayed
would happen. We could not do.
Right. Don't finish football and go, what? What's the Pelicans? Boom. And so it's been tough. And then after that, 7 of their next 8 are at home. Most of their December schedule is at home. They've got – this is it. You've got to get this string together, you're talking about, got to be now.
You got to string it, but I mean
– you ain't got people healthy.
You got to get some healthy. You got to get some bodies.
You got to do it on the road.
I mean, it's just like – You've got, what, 60 points, 70 points on the bench.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not talking about sometimes scores. We're talking about that's what they average, and that's been conservative.
No, I know.
I mean, you got – 80 points on the bench. That's in street code.
That should count for something.
Yeah.
Charlie said, don't forget that blank, wide-open layup from Anthony Edwards to send it into overtime. That was the first game with Minnesota.
You had late rotation. And yeah. You sent him to the baseline, but you had late rotation from your bigs and your drop guys. So, Charlie, don't get me started, man. No. I was having a good
You brought up the Pelicans.
And I started it.
You brought up the Pelicans.
I started it.
Hey, we'll take a break. We got Tulane tonight. Big one tonight. Tulane against North Texas for the AAA. We're going to talk with Dalton Wasserman next. College football Football. He's with PFF. He's an analyst. Back after this. Fans in the Pro from the Rouses on Ferret here on WWL. Welcome back. This is Fans in the Pro. I want to make sure to shout out to Magazine Pizza for feeding our Saints game day crowd. Magazine Pizza, 1068 Magazine, dine-in or delivery, the best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza also has pastas, sandwiches, wings, and salad. MagazinePizza.com. And it is conference championship weekend, Tulane, North Texas, James Madison against Troy, Georgia, Alabama. Joining us now is Dalton Wasserman, PFF analyst and co-host of the PFF College Football Show at PFF underscore Dalton. Dalton, welcome to the show. You're on with Mike Haas and Deuce McAllister.
How's it going, guys?
How are you doing? So we'll talk about our local teams first because we got Tulane. We're down the street, literally, from Tulane. I mean, it's not a play-in game because there's eyeballs and a committee that's involved, but technically it should be. This game is for one of the spots in the top 12. Do you see it that way?
Yeah, absolutely. At this point, with Tulane and North Texas being the two highest-ranked Group of Five teams, I would say 99.9% chance it's a play-in game here, and everything's on the line. And it's even more interesting with both coaches whenever their season ends departing. Obviously, John Summerall going to Florida, Eric Morris going up there to Oklahoma State. There's a lot on the line here, and I think you're going to have two really good football teams duking it out tonight. It's a very even game, and it's going to be an exciting time down there at Yeoman Stadium. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, and that's what I really want to, you know, what separates it? I mean, because you look at it, Tulane is the underdog at home, but what's the separator for you in this game?
I think I would say I trust North Texas' ability to run the ball a little bit better. Tulane's a little more reliant on Jake Retzloff and his legs. There's nothing wrong with that. Obviously, he can scramble. He's been, you know, in big situations before, last year at BYU, all of this year at Tulane. So I think you do have a very even football game. But North Texas has a really good back in Caleb Hawkins in the backfield. I would argue maybe the best true freshman running back in the country this season. And then they've really gotten the passing game going again down the stretch. They've got an emerging receiver in the slot, Wyatt Young, who can really tear up the middle of the field. So I think North Texas's balance is what's really making them just a slight favorite in that game, but I really do think you could argue it's a pick 'em.
When you look at kind of the landscape, and I got to ask you, just because I have to be in all transparency, I am a James Madison University alum down here in New Orleans. So for the Dukes to make it, it's a Duke weekend, right? Duke's got to win, and Duke it's got to beat Virginia, and that just opens the path. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. That opens the path.
I think it definitely opens the path. When you talk about if Duke wins, they'd be 8-5 with losses to teams like Tulane and to UConn. Really, I don't see a playoff case for them unless maybe James Madison lost also. But if JMU goes out there and dominates Troy in the Sun Belt game there, I think they have every right to think that if Duke wins and the ACC doesn't get a team, that they would then be the 12th team in. I think the precedent was set in this week's rankings. I think that could have been part of the reason that they made James Madison number 25 in those rankings to go, okay, they're clearly ahead of Duke in the standings right now, and they're going to be most likely ranked higher than Duke if Duke gets ranked at all if they both win. So I think that's exactly what you're rooting for, is Duke to beat Virginia in that ACC game on Saturday. But James Madison, they still got to take care of business tonight.
Yeah, and no, I mean, I'm just impressed by it. We were trying to figure out if we had any read on what the committee would possibly do, you know, if there is chaos. You know, if we have some chaos, maybe an upset or two, you know, but one team that I think, you know, maybe a BYU. If BYU wins, they're pretty much in, correct?
Absolutely. As the Big 12 champion, they would be in. And what's interesting then is it feels like the assumption is that they would leave Texas Tech somewhere in that top 10 also, with, you know, their two losses being to an Arizona State team that's been ranked at times this year and a BYU team that's currently number 11. And I think would enter the conversation possibly as high as number 5 or 6 if they were to beat Texas Tech this week. So I think that's really the teams that are looking out for that are Alabama and Notre Dame right there on the back end at 9 and 10. Could those two teams kind of be bumped out, especially Notre Dame at number 10. If BYU wins, they would almost at this point, the way the committee's been looking at them, be stealing a spot, although you could argue their resume is better than that. But that's really what's at stake for all of those teams in that game Saturday.
Yeah, and then I guess for Alabama, I mean, because where do they fall if it's not a close game? Do they fall all the way out of the conversation?
Yeah, there's so many scenarios we could get into here. If Texas Tech were to dominate BYU again, right? If Alabama were to get dominated by Georgia in that game, although they've won a couple against them in a row. And then the real question to me is, if those things were to happen and they were to get bumped down a little bit, what happens if we get Miami and Notre Dame now finally right next to each other, with Miami having won the head-to-head? And all that's really been the big argument is, what matters more, the entirety of this season? What have you done for me lately? What, you know, the head-to-head matchup in Miami winning that, even though it was in week one, how would that go if they were right next to each other? Because that's a very real possibility.
Man, that's just, it's kind of unbelievable how it has all come down. You know, when it went to 12, and with the situation at James Madison, situation with the ACC, situation with Tulane and North Texas, you know, and Deuce and I were talking earlier, you see how this group of five coaches are being, you know, treated, right? You know, with Eric Morris and Sumrall and Chesney, all these guys going to Power Four schools. I mean, it feels like the separation of the group of five and the Power Four is getting tighter and tighter.
Yeah, I think the talent across all of college football is getting spread out, not even just to the group of five, but you think about a team like Virginia, who nobody in the world would have picked to win the ACC this year, but they've only lost two games and they've really emerged, right? You had a similar thing with Arizona State last year, BYU being 11-1 with the talent they have, Texas Tech, and how quickly they've turned that around. You're seeing now, whether it be through recruiting or the transfer portal, the talent's getting spread out, and you're not seeing the same five or six teams hoarding, you know, four and five layers of their depth chart with five-star talents. These guys are spreading out, they're looking for playing time, and they're finding it at these other schools, and they're succeeding now, and they've got an opportunity to do so with the 12-team playoffs. So, you know, they kind of have this mentality of, look, if we can win 10 games, we can win our conference, we got a shot to go a long way here. And you're really seeing that play out with where the players and the talent are heading now to these different schools.
Yeah, it should be interesting. Should be interesting how everything unfolds. And just want to get your opinion on one or two of the coaches' hires, none in particular, but just how that, we'll call it madness, has affected not only the college football playoff system and even before you get to the playoffs, but, you know, how much more movement do you think we will see, whether it's on the upper echelon or even, you know, some of the lower conferences, so to speak?
I mean, the interesting part is, right, we're getting all these sitting head coaches moving, so it's one domino after another, right? You know, you had the Lane Kiffin situation down there at LSU, and how is Ole Miss going to fix that? They're going with Pete Golding. Even a hire like today with Penn State getting Matt Campbell. Well, now Iowa State's had, they got to fill a job, and they've had a pretty solid program under Campbell over the better part of a decade. So it's just one domino after another, it feels like, and you see some of the same names getting recycled to different jobs. But I think there's been a lot of really good fits made, right? James Franklin at Virginia Tech. I think, you know, a team like Auburn hiring USF coach Alex Golesh, like, you're seeing a lot of really good hires, but the dominoes just keep falling, and this is one of the crazier coaching cycles that I've seen recently.
Your thoughts, because you know, with your job at PFF and what you've covered him certainly in his many, many college years, and the Saints quarterback Tyler Shuck, and kind of how what you've seen of him. He's going to get his start, really. So this will be his fourth start. What your thoughts about him?
I think there's been moments where I've been impressed. It's a bit inconsistent, and that kind of goes along with the Saints offense, because he's got a really difficult job right now, because the Saints are really struggling to run the football. So he's being asked to drop back a lot, 40 and 50 times a game, right? And it's really hard to do that when everyone in the stadium knows you're throwing it. So I think he's made some nice plays on the move. That's kind of a key for him, is what kind of plays he's going to make under pressure. But at least in a couple of games, the Carolina win and this past game against Miami, once he got in a rhythm in the second half, he's been making plays on the move out of structure. I think the Saints really need to fix up their running game this offseason, kind of balance that out. That's what he had at Louisville, was balancing the run game and a really good play-action game. But if they can figure that out, he's really starting to show you something, I think, in the drop-back game, that he could be useful in future seasons here.
Just curious, as we close up, and I'm wanting to get your thoughts, if you had to, you know, we don't even know the 12 yet, but just give me who you think might – who are the two best teams that should be playing in the final?
I think Ohio State is one of them. I'm curious to see how Indiana looks against them this week. I have Ohio State winning. I think they're the best team in the country, but I think that second spot Right now, I'd say it comes down to probably Indiana or Georgia. I think Georgia looks very balanced, and as long as they're in rhythm on offense, they're going to be really good because Kirby's smart, and that defense is a constant. But I'll give you the sleeper. I think Oregon is still really dangerous with the way Dante Moore is playing. Dan Lanning's got a really good defense out there. They don't have a whole lot of big weaknesses, but I would say right now, if I were making a pick, I'd probably say Ohio State and Georgia.
Interesting.
Hard to go against those two.
Yeah. I mean, just history tells you. So we'll have one of the quarterfinal games will be here. The Sugar Bowl is a CFP quarterfinal game. So, man, it's just going to be interesting. Tonight, tomorrow, big weekend. So, as always, appreciate your time. Dalton Wasserman, he is co-host of PFF College Football Show. It's at PFF underscore Dalton. Let's just keep doing what we're doing. Go James Madison tonight. Go Duke tomorrow night. That's the call.
Just rooting for the chaos. I love it.
I love it. All right. Thank you, Dalton. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys as always. Thank you.
Thank you.
I mean, chaos is good. You know, sometimes change of pace, you know, it's interesting. I think he's right. If you get to the point, I hadn't really thought about it. You get to the point where you're 11-12 somewhere in this mix is Notre Dame and Miami.
Oh,
I hadn't really thought about it.
No, he's exactly right.
Right?
He's exactly right. I mean, and it's just like they want the chaos.
Right.
And that's their way in.
Man, got a lot to go on. And it's a big night again. Tulane over at Yulman Stadium, 2-point underdogs against North Texas for the American Athletic Association Conference Championship, the fourth straight year that they have been in the conference championship. So we'll see how that goes. Good luck to the Green Wave. Just bring it home and get in the 12, and then we'll see where everything goes. We'll take a break. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister. We are here until 6 o'clock. Then it's kickoff with Boomer and Valenti. And then don't forget, the Manning Family Children's Prep Football Roundup on a huge night, semifinal night, tonight at 7. Back after this from the Rouses on Ferret here on WWL. Welcome back. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister with you until 6 o'clock tonight, so about 15 more minutes, and then, you know, just so much going on. You got Tulane against North Texas. You got all the high school games. Most of them start at 7 o'clock. Tulane's at 7 o'clock tonight. Underdogs, you know, it's kind of – that might help them a little bit. I don't know. I just like, you know, thinking about it, seeing what will happen. Also, earlier this week DeMario Davis was the team's nominee for the Walter Payton Man of the Year. And I don't, you know, there's never a bad choice, but because it was Cam last year.
Who got shiced it.
Right. I believe that he got hurt because it was in New Orleans. I think, you know, we had the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And you had Jari that was up again. You know, all this stuff happened, and they're like, well, we can't have everything New Orleans.
Right.
It's going to look like we're just going to give everything to New Orleans.
Yeah, well, I mean, that may be true, too. But, I mean, Cam should have won. If you've seen the work, I mean, obviously we see it, and we know about the work that he does in the community. Cam should have won the Man of the Year, and it would have been a perfect ending for him as far as that season off the field and the work that he has done. On the field kind of speaks for itself, and you know, we made a joke about it, but he's one that he's in the money. He's unlocked a now it's not easy, had a renegotiated contract, so you give up guaranteed money and you kind of bet on yourself, and he's unlocked the incentive where every sack going forward, and it's been a couple sacks now, but the amount goes up, and with each sack, each half sack, it's another incentive. And
yeah.
So he has the, what is it, stacking, I don't even know what the technical name, what he calls it, his little.
The stacking.
Yeah, the stacking on top of it.
When he does his hand movement.
Yeah, his hand gesture of movement. So he's stacking them.
Well, if you go back through his career, he is mid-November to December, he's a beast. He just has been. And, you know, you talk about he's at 6.5 sacks right now. So that's more than 2023 and 2024 combined. It's the most he's had since he had 8.5 sacks in 22, which was the last time he went to the Pro Bowl. And he has just been, you know, and I think that's played a role. People ask, you know, what's going on with Carl Granderson?
Yep.
Well, guess what? Carl Granderson, you got Chase Young and Cam Jordan right now.
Well, they were going to rotate him anyway.
Right.
They do rotate him anyway, but, I mean, you talk about it.
But who's the hot guy?
Yeah, well, that's what I was about to say. You talk about it. Hey, who is giving me the production, or who is the guy that has it going? And, you know, we've seen them be able to use some of that three down, and I think Brian Brzee is the other guy that comes in, but they'll use three defensive ends in the game. And, you know, one of them will bump inside, whether you're talking about Cam or Granderson or even Chase Young, and, you know, Brian Brzee is the other defensive tackle. And it's about getting after the quarterback. Now, I know Bobby talks about it, where that number needs to be 40s or even 50s as far as sack numbers, and we know the Saints aren't at that number, but if they could stop teams from running and now you could get after the quarterback with the way that they have played up front, it could be impressive. But you know the flip side of that? You know the flip side of that? What happened to the Saints with their first three possessions last week in the first
offensively?
Quarter? Offensively.
Well, it was a turnover.
Not before that. That was in one of those first three possessions.
Right. Well, they didn't get a first down, I don't think.
That part. Yeah. So, you are sending that defense.
Don't make me say that again. That was horrible.
Well, I mean,
it was the first time.
No, yeah, well, but you knew. You know,
yeah.
I didn't lead you directly where I wanted, but you got there.
Yeah.
But if I am getting you off the field with three and outs, or at least – the opponent in scoring, but then offensively, you know, I think it was at one point the Saints had three possessions and all of those possessions were equal like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Total.
And negative yards rushing.
Yeah, and it's just like there's no way that you can continue to ask your defense to continue to come out here and play at that level. At some point, they're going to bend. And possibly break, and Miami did make them break as far as getting a touchdown out of it. I mean, but that's where it has to be complimentary, and that's where it has to be, okay, we got guys that can sack the quarterback, but we need a little help offensively from you where you're not just going to send us down where, man, I just got two shots of water, now it's punt team.
Right.
I got to go back, you know, and we punt.
Right.
And that's what, you know, that's what the defense, that's what they've been in.
You got to, whatever the drive in the third quarter, Saints offensively, there was nothing magical about that. There wasn't no new plays.
No.
4 yards is a good daggone run.
Yeah.
Move it, right? They just couldn't do it in the first quarter. Did it on the third quarter drive. Take a break. Come back, close things up here. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister. We're at the Rouses, 46-45 Ferret. Back after this. Stay with us on WWL. Welcome back. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister with you just for a couple of more minutes. So,
Mike, and I know you got some good stuff here, but
I got nothing.
No, well, we know what time of the year it is. It's getting close to the finals in college football.
Yep.
But what are we watching on television?
The Polar Express.
The Polar Express. And then also, we got to shout out our lights in City Park.
Yeah.
So if you hadn't gotten a chance, you need to go by. You need to go by and see the lights and just experience it. But it's Christmas time.
I know.
So I'm telling you now, what's today? The 5th?
5th.
Don't wait 20 days. Don't wait till the 22nd.
To get your gift?
No, you know who I'm talking about.
My wife?
Don't wait till the 22nd.
All right.
Now I'm talking to myself when I'm talking to you because
Did she give you a list?
I hadn't asked for it yet, but
well, come on, man. You just gonna guess?
No. I mean, I got to get on it as well. I'm fussing at you as I'm talking to myself.
But she's got to get you a birthday gift on the 27th and Christmas on the 25th.
Yeah, good luck. It'll be like, hey, here's your shirt. Here's the pants that match it.
That's because you ain't helping. I know you ain't giving her no help.
No, I ain't gonna give him no help. I'm blessed, Mike. I know I don't need anything. And so if you want to get me some, I would say give him some top on it. Give him some golf balls.
Don't even give me those
because I'm picky on those as well. So don't even waste it.
By the way, this conversation started because we. We're looking at the Polar Express, and I was going, that movie was cutting edge, you know, back when you Tom Hanks and the face and the animation. And dude said, how old do you think it is? And I said, I don't know. He said 20 years. I go, ain't no way. He's right. It was 21 years ago.
20 years.
Came out November of 2004.
Yeah.
Came out before Katrina. Oh, my gosh. I just have aged and just sitting here.
They tell me it's a lot better than the alternative.
Yes. It is. So you think Tulane's going to do it tonight?
I do think so. I think they take care of the business.
Saints upset Tampa. Tampa's not the team they were, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, but the Saints have to play clean football. They have to play clean football, and hopefully they can put it together.
Yeah, don't fight uphill.
That off week hurt offensively. Hopefully, with practice, they've able to be able to say, "Hey, you know, we can do this. We can go out and play complimentary football." And you know, I hope Charlie shows and proves that he can kick some big kicks. Yeah. I mean, it's gonna be a wet mess.
Definitely in Tampa. My thanks to Charlie Long, Marcy Nathan from Rouse's, DePaul Smith, Nathan Enright, huge help tonight. Luke Augusta, Deuce McAllister, as well, of course. Go Green Wave. Go Saints. James Madison, do your job. Thanks for listening. It's Fans and a Pro.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads and grow your business fast.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.